You can't say that.
Traitor. Traitor.
She's still sleepy.
Are you not well, honorable member?
When are you paying the money?
Hey.
You are not allowed to be emotional.
Take your seat.
Draw the lela pili.
Nkandla.
That's unparliamentary.
Hey. Welcome to week 3 of Sunday Times Politics Weekly, and what a week it really has been. We've been exposed to this massive story about Zuma's plot to oust Cyril Ramaphosa, and I think that's taken the forefront around everything happening this week.
Yeah.
I'm joined in the studio this week by Zingisa Mvumvu and Zimasa Matiwane from our Sunday Times Politics Department. Let's just look back at the story quickly. The Sunday Times can reveal exclusively today, which was on Sunday, that Zuma held a clandestine meeting with staunch backers including ANC Secretary General Ace Magashule, former Northwest Premier Supra Mahumapelo, ANC Women's League Secretary General Miyoko Matuba, and ANC Youth League KwaZulu-Natal Secretary Tadutlolo Sabelo at the Marani Hotel in Durban on Thursday. The Thursday meeting was preceded on the day before at the Beverly Hills Hotel in Umhlanga Rocks. That meeting is believed to have been attended by Magashule, Mahumapelo, and former SAA board chair Dudu Mayeni, who we know has very close ties to our former president. If we look back at the story, Zimasa, you were present when ANC head of presidency Zizi Kodwa basically gave the ANC's response to this matter. If we contrast that to Pule Mabe's response, which was a whole different fiasco in its own, basically lambasting the journalists, lambasting the story, and rubbishing everything. Then you have Zizi Kodwa coming in and saying, well, listen, we haven't really spoken to anybody in the ANC, and these people are the right people to tell you about what happened. What do you make of that statement?
It gives off the impression that the center is not holding in the ANC. Nobody knows who is in charge. And we are getting different narratives from different individuals, but no one can come out and say, I speak on behalf of the organization. You listen to me, you believe what I say. Because on Sunday when the story came out, you had an NSC member saying that this should be investigated. And
this was Jackson Mthembu, am I right?
Yeah, Jackson Mthembu. And you also had Pule Mabe, the statement, purported to be coming from the ANC, saying that, basically rubbishing the story and demanding an apology. And then on Monday,
the thing that strikes me, though, is Pule Mabe comes out, rubbishes the story, but then Zizi comes and says, hey, well, listen, we haven't really asked these guys what happened. The best people to ask would be them. I mean, if I have a plot to take you out, are you going to come and ask me, or is somebody else going to ask me what I think of the whole thing? Surely you would, as the ANC, handle it or as an organization on that level.
What I gathered from Zizi's conversation with journalists on that day is that he was trying very hard to not legitimize the Sunday Times story, in a sense that he plain refused to admit if there was a meeting. I personally don't believe that by Monday they had not spoken to a single person who is implicated in this plot. You know, so had he said, yeah, well, we've asked someone, you know, we've asked Ace, we've asked Supra, or we've asked Miyoko, and this is what they've said. You know, Zizi was trying very hard to just run away from the whole thing and distance the ANC from the whole thing and say it was a meeting of individuals. Go speak to them.
Well, then let's look at Ace Magashule. What he said afterwards was that they had met and that they had met for organizational issues. Zingisa, what do you think? Organizational issues, obviously, we're not privy to that.
Yeah. Well, it's you know, what is confusing here, Amil, is that, I mean, talking about Ace as saying it was an organizational meeting, which he only said on Tuesday, 3 days into the story, having denied initially when he was approached by our colleague Jeff Weeks at the hotel, outside the hotel, having denied that he met the president, and then 2 days later. And we should also remember that on Monday, there's an official ANC's top six meeting. I actually think that Ace was put under pressure and was grilled in that particular meeting. And actually, I think it is the ANC top six that put him in the corner and told him that he created a mess and that he must
deal with it, because this is not the Ace that we know. Ace is not a guy who entertains the media. He's generally hostile against the media. We know him. It's very difficult to get a hold of him on the phone, very difficult to have an interview with him. But yesterday, suddenly, Ace is available to everyone and anyone, giving people individual interviews. Everyone had an exclusive with Ace yesterday. I mean, it's funny, how can these things be exclusive when he's repeating the same thing? He was on a propaganda, mission yesterday too.
9 months into his reign as SG, and we finally get an exclusive.
You know what I'm saying?
Everyone on the same day.
Everyone was excited. When in actual fact, we were all falling into the trap of him spewing his propaganda, which also didn't make sense. I mean, there were so many holes in these things, as you say. Yeah. Says it was an organizational meeting. But I mean, if you're going to meet a former president, that's someone highly, highly ranked in the party. Surely now you have to inform your other colleagues, that at least, even if you don't inform the entire NEC because you meet them seldom, but at least the top six that you meet every week, he should have discussed such an issue in the previous Monday before the Thursday, when he was in the meetings with officials, to say, comrades, I am going to KZN. I have a few issues to discuss with the former president. I'll brief you. You don't have to brief them about the entirety. I'll brief you back about what we discussed when we come back. Exactly. And also the other confusing part is that his diary said he was in the Free State, yet he was in Durban. So all those things go to show that there was something sinister about him wanting to meet the former president, Jacob Zuma. And you can see, I mean, we all know that the two of them are longtime allies. You see the manner in which the man admires the former president, and he even calls him president still. I mean, yesterday in all these interviews, mostly he was referring to him as President Zuma. That's the kind of relationship that they have, which goes to show that there's still that extent. And with regards to the plot itself, I mean, for me, I would say it was not completely shocking. In fact, I had always suspected. It's just that for the first time that the Sunday Times revealed and proved that indeed there is such a plot, I've always suspected.
You know what the story made me think about? You remember in Nazareth last year, there was this now infamous video by Nicholas Bauer, where as the results of the president's, of who the president of the ANC would be, he got a shot of Zuma's face, and his expression at the time, you could see that the man was livid. He was clenching his knuckles, rubbing his fingers together. You could see that the decision didn't sit well with him. You could see that he wasn't going to go happily into the night and just disappear, as some of our other former presidents have done. So as you said, it's not exactly shocking that the Zuma faction would want to stage this sort of this sort of a fight back.
And just to add on that, I mean, look, Zuma, for a very long time, he is known to be a political survivor, to be the mastermind, the political chess champion, checkmate type of a guy who always emerges victorious. As you say, for the first time in December, in fact, that was the first political defeat he suffered in his long political career. He's always emerged victorious, even when he seems to be losing a battle. So for the first time, he lost. And then from that, I mean, barely 3 months later, he was taken out of office, another loss for a guy who hasn't been used, who survived 9 votes of no confidence in parliament. You know, so all these things. So he's still angry from Nazareth. Now you take him out of the presidency of the country, another
You're poking the bear now.
Builds up. And then from that, he's facing the corruption charges in court. So all those things that have happened in such a short space of time, obviously, I mean, this guy has got to fight back, knowing him as this guy who's not used to being to have his back against the wall. So this kind of fight back was always expected, especially given that he's got the court trial that is ongoing on corruption charges. So he sort of needs to reestablish himself in terms of the political power.
As you say, things haven't really been going well for him under Cyril Ramaphosa's presidency. I mean, we now see the state capture inquiry kicking off quite fundamentally, with some changes undergone by Cyril Ramaphosa. He's busy fixing SARS at the moment as well. He's made some massive cabinet changes. so he's sort of delinking the strings that held Zuma's administration together. But looking forward, Zimoso, what do you think this means for Cyril Ramaphosa, though? Do you think he's, you know, is he strong enough in the ANC to survive if there is a fight back on this level?
It would probably depend on how he plays it going forward. His relationship with the top six, his relationship with the NEC, and probably who is deployed to government. In these situations, you kind of have to keep people busy, because if you create a coalition of the wounded...
You mean keep people paid?
Keep people paid, keep them busy, because if you create a coalition of the wounded with, you know, with people like Supra Mahumapilu, those are ground people. Those are people who know how to work the branches,
exactly.
You know. So he must try by all means to avoid a situation where this coalition is intact and is working against him. And maybe kind of have some sort of grip over the ANC. Tell them he's in charge, show them he's in charge, make them believe he's in charge. I don't know if that can happen with the likes of Ace.
Not an easy task, especially when you've got someone like Ace as your SG. But if you think about it, I mean, it can be argued that Cyril Ramaphosa's changing things at the upper levels. You know, he's fixing cabinets, he's trying to fix SOEs, he's doing everything on a government level. But is he really prepared, or is he ready for the ground fight? Because in the ANC, it's everything happens on the ground, you know? Does Ramaphosa have enough support on the ground to survive in the ANC? That's the question.
Does he know how to?
Exactly.
Yeah, where is his constituency?
You see, exactly there is the question, Amir. But you see, with this kind of an exposure now on what the other faction is doing, I think Ace and them are a bit dislodged. With whatever that they were planning. Of course, I mean, those are the guys, that other faction of Ace, Supra, and the former President Jacob Zuma are the guys who know how to work the structures and all that. But with this kind of thing that is happening now, I think they're going to be a bit dislodged, but I definitely don't think they're going to stop because they've been exposed. Of course, it's going to disorganize them, may require them to change strategy and you know, regroup and do all sorts of things. But I think it's a giant step for the President Cyril Ramaphosa in terms of him, waking up and smelling the coffee, because really, as you said, in the ANC, it's all about cementing yourself. I mean, for him, I think he's gradually getting there. You know, the result of Nasrec, the closeness in the contest itself, proved that he has a lot of work to do to stamp
in
his
a very
authority.
Short space of time as well.
To stamp his authority within the party. I don't think he's there yet, but I think he's getting there. And I think this dislodge that is going to happen to the other faction is going to give him another step going forward and entrench himself. But what is going to be very interesting, I think we will get the full extent of his grip of the party after the list conference. I think that is where we will know whether he's entrenched and he's been able to infiltrate the structures and stamp his authority after the list conference, when you look at the people that will be up there in those particular lists to the provincial legislatures and the National Assembly, because that will be the truest definition after Nasrec about the extent of his power creep within the organization. So I think that particular conference, these processes are going to be very important for him to solidify his control of the ANC. And post that, I think then the road for him will be easier. But the biggest blunder that would happen to him is to lose in terms of his people occupying the higher spaces in the list conference, because that will mean then that the other faction are going to have dominance when it comes to provincial legislatures and National Assembly. And that is the crux of what government turns out to be at the end of the day, because that's where policy is generated. Now you're going to hit a snag. Whenever you propose certain thing, they're going to propose what their faction favors. And you're always going to lose if you don't have your people. So I think that then, when it happens, I understand it's going to happen early next year at the ANC National List Conference. Only after then will we be able to tell that President Cyril Ramaphosa has got control of the organization. But I think the work for him starts now, especially now knowing that the others are not sleeping, they're working. But I don't know if he and his faction will have the chance. I mean, you'd remember that now they're the ones who are in the state, who have the state power. People who are in state power tend to ignore the organization, and I think that would
That's
be
dangerous.
The undoing of them, you know, because they are too focused on government. I mean, we see he himself, the president, is all over lobbying for investment and all that.
his other strong people are ministers within the same government. So those people don't actually have the time to go back to what Zimasa was saying. The others who are out, Supra is out, that one is out, Ace is family based
at
Luthuli House. Zuma is out there. So those people, their advantage is that they have all the time to work the ground. The others, they have their attention divided. They don't have the entire time to focus on party issues because the priority for them is government. So how they strike the balance between government and the party will be very important, and it will be proven by the results of these conferences.
You know, that so it's the big chess game that we're going to see next year.
Oh, definitely.
Between Cyril Ramaphosa and Jacob Zuma. And to be honest with you, I do not envy Cyril Ramaphosa at all.
Definitely.
One, because you're a man who's got 1.5 years to clean up a country, fix everything, and unify your party before the elections. It's a big task. And let's just see how he does. Yeah, thank you so much for listening this week, guys. And we'll catch you next week. Same time, same place. Thank you.
Thanks.